Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to talk about a new movie? Check. Want to talk about an older movie similar or related to that new movie?
Check.
That's what you can expect from Quality Check Podcast.
It's a new podcast on the Studio DNA Network, hosted by yours truly, Drew Douglas and
Daniel Posey. Every other Tuesday, we'll talk about a new movie and an old movie to see how the film's quality holds up.
Do you like sports? Because we like sports. Let's talk about sports. It's Sports Shack. Sports Shack. It's Sports Shack.
Welcome to the Sports Yak Podcast. As I look at our records, episode 239.
You mean the Mordecai Three Finger Brown episode? Hello? Are you with me?
Mordecai Three Finger Brown.
Oh, legendary pitcher for the Cubs, had a farming accident when he was a kid. And so really, he only had three fingers and a couple of stubs. And it changed the spin and the rotation on his pitches, made him very difficult to hit.
Wow.
Three finger was a big part of the Cubs' pennants in 06 and 08. And Mordecai Three Finger Brown won 239 games in his illustrious Cubs career.
What song never gets old?
This one. Happy September 21st. Do you remember the 21st night of September? I know you do, because, ladies and gentlemen, let me bring in some earth, wind, and fire.
You need some work on your ramps.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, that is a good one.
That song never gets old. We talked about songs that never get old. No. This is one of them.
No, that's a good one right there. Covered by a lot of people. A lot of people.
Yeah, but never done as well as the original.
No.
And if you want to really feel what the 70s were all about, watch the video.
Of that particular song?
Yes.
One word, jumpsuits, I'm guessing. That's a total guess. Any roller skates in that video?
I don't think there are roller skates in that video.
All right.
There's brass. Oh, there's brass.
Family Broadcasting Corporation.
Well, the crowd's going wild.
In association with the Studio DNA Podcast Network, presents Sports Yak.
Oh, my heavens!
One host knows sports.
And who's right there?
The other doesn't know sports, but somehow they meet in the middle.
It's all the way!
Here's your hosts, Corey Mann.
Get your big butt out of here.
And Indiana Sports Broadcast Hall of Famer.
This one will be relived.
Chuck Freebie.
Forever.
Well, let's get to it. Let's start with the NFL from Sunday.
What a weekend in the NFL. I will say, most of the great games did not involve our regional teams. And I would not, even though it was a thrilling ending to the Bears game, I would in no stretch of the imagination call that a great game.
Oof.
Between the Bears and Giants. Poor Giants. Early on, first quarter, they lose their star running back, Saquon Barkley. He's out for the year now with a torn ACL. So they lose him. Trubisky looks pretty good in the first half, to be honest. And the Bears are up 17-0. Here come the Giants. Field goal, touchdown, field goal. The Bears look like they have a pick six from Eddie Jackson, but he's called for something of a phantom pass interference call. Trubisky throws a couple of interceptions. Now, to his credit, his receivers weren't doing them any favors either. Miller dropped one flat out in the end zone that he should have had, that Trubisky just put it on a string to him. So it's 17-13, and the Giants get the ball with 2 minutes left. And as a Bears fan, you're sitting there saying, I watched this last week in reverse.
Mm-hmm.
And now karma is coming, and it's going to catch up with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, they're about to lose to the Giants.
And Daniel the Giants without Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
And the Giants are moving down the field, and they've got it first and goal at the 9, and you're thinking, there's no way the Bears survived this. But they do. Golden Tate's called for offensive pass interference in the end zone, and that expires the clock, and the Bears win it 17-13. And the Bears are 2-0, and I posted this last night on Twitter. You know, Bill Parcells, the famed Giants coach, used to say, you are what your record is. And Bears fans who have watched their team play the last 2 weeks say, no, we're not. No, we're not.
They were talking at the beginning of the game about which version of the Bears are we going to see? 2018 Bears, 2019 Bears, or whatever this concoction is. And the jury's not in yet.
They go to Atlanta next week. There are a lot of teams that I would want to play this week. Atlanta's not one of them. Atlanta had a 15-point lead on the Dallas Cowboys with 5 minutes left. Have you seen the onside kick that the Cowboys recovered?
I did see that.
A reminder of the rules of football. If you're the receiving team and the team is trying an onside kick and it's just slowly rolling, you can go and get the ball. You don't have to wait until the ball goes 10 yards. You can go and get it. But instead, they're watching it roll like a bunt down the third base line. And Dallas swoops in and recovers the onside kick and goes down the field and kicks the game-winning field goal with no time left and rallies from 15 down with 5 minutes left to beat the Falcons. And you know the last time the Falcons blew a lead that big? The Super Bowl, when they lost to the Patriots, when they had that 28-3 lead on New England and lost the Super Bowl. In fact, the Atlanta Falcons made NFL history yesterday. They are the first team to score at least 39 points in a game with no turnovers and lose. The prior mark going into Sunday for teams that scored at least 39 with no turnovers, they were 440-0. But now it's 440-1, thanks to the Falcons.
Hey, can I rewind real quick?
Yeah.
If you go back to episode 219 of Sports Yak, Tim Sinclair was with us. He didn't know at the time he'd be the new Bears PA guy.
Ooh.
But we have a conversation with him, and he was at his first home game yesterday.
Okay.
Inside an empty stadium.
Well, he's been used to working empty stadiums.
Tough crowd.
Yeah.
Tough crowd. You know, watching that Bears-Giants game and then just leaving it on CBS and then watching Patrick Mahomes and the Chargers, it's like JV and varsity.
Remember, the Bears passed on Patrick Mahomes to take Mitch Trubisky. And then you watch some of the throws Patrick Mahomes makes. How about the touchdown pass to Tariq Hill yesterday?
And the backup kid for the Chargers,
Justin Herbert, was really good.
In 7 plays, he scores. He's good. Oh.
And what a game that was.
And
the Chiefs win it on a 58-yard field goal in overtime. The second 58-yard field goal this guy makes during the game. And congratulations to the Chiefs as they stay unbeaten, knocking off the Chargers in their L.A. debut, at least their SoFi Stadium debut yesterday. So that was another great game. The Sunday night game was something else. Russell Wilson throwing 5 touchdown passes. Seattle gets a goal line stand on the Patriots at the end of the game to beat them 35-30. upending Cam Newton before he could get in the end zone. And the Colts yesterday, the Colts left a ton of points on the board. They beat the Vikings 28-11. They should have beat them like 45-11.
Really?
That game was not as close as the score would indicate. The Colts settled for 4 field goals in that game, and it could have been a lot worse for the Vikings, who have not looked very good at all this year, losing to the Packers and to the Colts. Jonathan Taylor, the rookie running back, taking over for Marlon Mack, runs for 101 yards and touchdowns. Colts had their share of injuries, though, in that game, as did everybody in the NFL. Corey, I don't remember an NFL Sunday, and a lot of these injuries happened like the first hour of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like between 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock, it seemed like Adam Schefter and Field Yates had a different injury update every 5 minutes. But Malik Hooker and Paris Campbell both got hurt for the Colts yesterday. The only good news for the Colts is that Paris Campbell's knee is not an ACL tear. They're going to do an MRI on it today to see how bad it is, but it's not torn, so that's good. He could come back this year. Malik Hooker, I think, was an ankle, but the Niners really got torn up yesterday. Jimmy Garoppolo had an ankle sprain. Joey Bosa may have torn his ACL, which would be a huge blow for their defense. Then the quarterback for the Broncos had a shoulder injury. He's going to be out for some time. Unfortunately for the Lions, they're all healthy. They don't have excuses other than the fact that they're just bad.
What's the problem in Detroit, Chuck?
That they're the Lions. I mean, it's a culture thing, and I'm not sure. I don't think they have a lot of talented players. I'm not sure Matt Patricia is the answer, but I don't know who would be the answer right now. You have to have players for a coach to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
And they've lost 11 in a row now, and they get out to these leads, and then they can't finish them. But yesterday, they jump out on top of the Packers, and you're watching scores scroll across the screen, and you just know. You sit there and you don't get any kind of like, oh, the Lions might pull it off today. There's none of that vibe. At least for me, I'm sitting there looking at scores and I'm saying, all right, well, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are just kind of sitting there looking at their watches and saying, all right, it's time. And they do. They wind up winning 42-21. But a really exciting day of NFL football yesterday. I mean, and I know some people are down on the NFL for their politics or whatever. I'm telling you, though, if you want good entertainment on a Sunday,
yeah,
they provide it.
I got it from the Chiefs yesterday. The speed of those running backs, my goodness. Give them a crease and it's go time.
And it was especially appreciated that the NFL had a good Sunday because college football did not have a good Saturday.
Nice segue.
Oh, that Notre Dame-South Florida game. Now, I know Irish fans are like, wow, we won 52-0. You beat a really bad football team. I mean, they were worse. I thought they weren't good coming in, but they were worse than I thought. That special teams play for South Florida was abhorrent. The long snapper should just have to walk home to Tampa. He basically cost them 14 points on his own. And Notre Dame did the things that they needed to do. I like the versatility that they showed out of the running back position. I loved the storyline of Jack Kaiser. Kid out of Pioneer High School, which is here in Indiana, Corey. Royal Center, Indiana. Have you ever been through Royal Center?
I've never heard of it until Saturday.
Royal Center is the home of Pioneer football, which has been one of the outstanding programs in the state for some time now. They're having a down year this year because they lost a game. That's how people view Pioneer. That's a down year. You lost a game in the regular season. What's wrong? But Jack Kaiser, when he played at Pioneer High School, was a two-way player. He was the quarterback on the football team and also a linebacker. And Notre Dame recruits him and takes him. And a lot of people are like, What are you doing? This is just kind of like, are you kind of trying to just be nice and make people in Indiana have a feel-good story or something? But this kid's a talented player. If you saw him play in high school, you kind of knew there's something different about him. So Jack Kaiser is working scout team for the Irish last Tuesday and Wednesday. And all of a sudden, as you texted me the other day, players become unavailable, as Notre Dame wanted to put it. Apparently, they can't say one or more of these players has COVID and the rest are quarantined. And you don't even have to say which one, but at least be clear. Instead, we're told they're unavailable. For all we know, they may have been arrested.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Bad grades, family conflict.
Right.
Unavailable.
So the only one on the list that we knew that why they were unavailable was Kyle Hamilton, because we saw him get hurt in the game last week. But the first two players at the what they call the buck linebacker, the inside linebacker position for Notre Dame, are out. So Jack Kaiser goes from scout team to starter for the day and winds up leading the team in tackles and getting the game ball. And the ovation that he got when Brian Kelly presented him the game ball in the locker room, you can tell this is a guy that his teammates appreciate how hard he works. And then he goes into the press conference, which I'm sure at the beginning of the week, if you told Jack Kaiser, oh, yeah, you're going to be in the post-game press conference after the game, he would have just had a hearty chuckle. And it was the kind of aw shucks that you would expect from somebody from Royal Center, Indiana. Talked about how his town doesn't have a stoplight. They have a yellow light. I looked it up. Population 839 in Royal Center. And he said they were probably making some noise down there to celebrate what he had done.
Turning the car upside down. Just the one.
He talked about what, you know, when you grow up in Indiana, the chance to wear a gold helmet at Notre Dame, just to dress with the team, just to be on the field.
On a Saturday afternoon.
And then to think that you're going to go out and actually play a factor in the game and be able to make plays. I mean, he sounded like, you felt like you should put on Hoosiers and the scene in the locker room where we're going to win this for all the small schools who never could. it was terrific.
Does this gameplay change this young man's trajectory, do you think?
It could. It could. I mean, because we don't know
diamond
how long.
Diamond in the rough.
We don't know how long Liafu and Simon are going to be unavailable. And we're not allowed to ask why they're unavailable, apparently. I think we've told you before on this show, but the way it works for Saturday post-game press conferences, and we're told that it works this way because Notre Dame does not have the technology to allow media to ask questions and live stream the press conference. Apparently, that technology does not exist at Our Lady's school, even though it seems to at other institutions.
Is it a Zoom call?
It's a Zoom call.
And there's not the technology to unmute the button?
No, apparently not if you're live streaming. I don't know. I can't speak from any technological expertise, but it sure seems shady to me.
Wow.
And instead, we have to submit questions to a moderator who sorts through them and asks them to Brian Kelly.
And questions aren't getting answered.
Right, because they only ask so many.
Mm-hmm.
So it's frustrating.
Yes, it is.
Perhaps today we'll get more answers in the Kelly Monday press conference.
Mm-hmm. What time's that at for you?
Noon.
Okay. Where do you like to take in that? Do you take that in at the office, the home office?
I'll take that in here.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, we have internet here.
We do. That might put us a notch above Notre Dame Media Relations. I'm not sure.
Mm. I heard this name on your sports cast this morning, Deion Sanders.
Going to Jackson State to be the head coach, says God has called him to be the head coach at Jackson State, alma mater of Walter Payton, a 1AA school in Mississippi, historically black college. And Deion, who has no previous head coaching experience whatsoever, we'll see what he can do with the Jackson State program. We are seeing, Corey, in these days, some athletes, I won't say a lot of athletes, but some athletes making the decision to go play at historically black colleges. We saw this in basketball. Howard University got a huge recruit who will play against Notre Dame this year. And when I say huge, I mean in talent and in size. He's 7'1". And I saw the other day a football player picked Morgan State, which is a historically black college, a player that was a fairly highly sought-after recruit. And you have to think that the presence of primetime at Jackson State is going to lure some kids to go there. And we've seen traditionally great players come out of these historically black colleges. Jerry Rice at Mississippi Valley State. I mentioned Walter Payton at Jackson State. Grambling has had a number of players, especially under Eddie Robinson, go into the NFL. So there are some fine individuals there that are found, but it'll be interesting to see how good these teams can become. Typically, about the only time that the mainstream media shows historically black colleges is when Grambling plays Southern, and part of that is as much a cultural thing as a football thing. It's the battle of the bands. It's everything surrounding it in either New Orleans or Atlanta. We may see some of these teams become more of a factor in college football.
You know, you're going to have to put together some sort of package to explain to these players who their head coach is.
True. I mentioned on the on Countdown to Kickoff the other day, Charlie Weiss Jr. went into his quarterback room the other day and asked his quarterbacks, who was the coach at Notre Dame before Brian Kelly? And none of them knew that it was Charlie Weiss Sr. And the reason none of them knew is because that's a half a lifetime ago for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're a 20-year-old kid, you'd have to go back to when you were 9 or 10 to remember who that coach was.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them probably weren't even paying attention to football then.
Mm.
So, hey, yeah, a lot of these kids may not know. Although they may have seen Dion on NFL Network or something like that. They may have an idea, but they probably don't know just how good he was.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. Hey, before we completely get out of football, just a quick take on your Friday night broadcast.
Oh, man, was that a game. High school football at its finest on the banks of the Elkhart River, Rice Field, Elkhart and Penn with a terrific game. Elkhart jumps out to a 20-6 lead at halftime. Penn makes some adjustments. Elkhart has a special team snafu. Penn takes advantage, makes it 20-13. Elkhart looks like they're driving down the field to kill the clock towards the end of the game. Cameron Wiltfong, their quarterback, throws an interception to Ty Zahner. Now Penn gets the ball. Penn and credit Ron Paulus III. Man, did he make some plays on this drive. He took some hits. He took some sacks. But there was one where Rodney McGraw, the Penn State commits, got him right in his sights. And Paulus manages to sidestep him, keep his eyes downfield, and find Carson Mumaugh for a first down. So they go down, 4 seconds left. They run a play that looks very similar. If you remember the Notre Dame-Florida State game where Notre Dame got, or the, it might have been Notre Dame-Clemson game, where Notre Dame got called for a pick play in the end zone. They had thrown to an open receiver in the end zone, but they said that the other receivers were called for pass interference because they were blocking instead of going out for a pass. Penn runs similar-looking play, except none of the receivers make any contact whatsoever. They get the touchdown pass to Mumaugh. It's 20-19, and they decide, first they run the kicker onto the field, and then they pull him off and decide we're going for two and the win. And they try it on an end-around pass to the end zone. It fails. And an Elkhart team beats Penn in football for the first time since 1985. Joyous celebration at Rice Field. Elkhart wins at 20-19. And here's a delicious thought. Those two teams will likely meet again in the sectional.
Oh, wow.
So
I didn't get to see the end of it. I kind of was curious when I got up the next morning what kind of celebration was going down.
Well, you can watch it on YouTube and Facebook, etc. We've had it posted there. In fact, that's our second highest viewership for an online game since we started doing this 3 years ago. But that was a great game. Some other notes from over the weekend in high school football. Marion continues to look strong. They blasted Adams at School Field, and they are ranked number one in 3A. They will go to Penn this Friday night. That should be a very interesting game. You look at some other games. I think Warsaw was impressive going to Northridge, handing the Raiders their first loss of the year. First team to score any points against Northridge this year. And Warsaw now in the driver's seat in the Northern Lakes Conference. The rest of the team's kind of playing a game survivor. New Prairie bounced back well. They beat St. Joe, hammered them, as a matter of fact, at AMSU Miller Field. So New Prairie plays Adams this week, but it looks like Casey McKim may have them back on track. Jimtown got an upset at Bremen over the weekend. That's a huge rivalry anyway. And Jimtown was able to nip them 14-13. Bremen went for two, much like Penn did. Didn't work out. And so the Jimmies hang on for a win. We'll see Bremen take on John Glenn this Friday on the 46th game of the week. John Glenn lost to Knox, but that's a non-conference game. If you look at the standings in the NIC South Division, John Glenn, the only unbeaten team in the conference right now in that division, and we'll see if they can stay that way playing at Falcon Field against a longtime rival in Bremen.
U.S. Open over the weekend.
Bryson DeChambeau plays a different kind of style of golf than what you and I would have been taught if we were golfers.
How so?
Typically, the thought process, especially on a U.S. Open course, which tends to have very high rough, very tight fairways, keep the ball in the fairway, you know, take a little bit off the drive, keep the ball in the fairway, you might have a longer second shot to the green, be happy, you know, take advantage of your occasional birdie opportunities, be happy with pars. Bryson DeChambeau, after the 2019 season, went into the weight room, put on about 25 pounds of muscle. Came out looking like a completely different guy. And he gets up on the tee and he just blasts the ball. He doesn't care where it goes. Because he's going to muscle it out of wherever it gets into. If it gets in that 5-inch rough, no big deal. I'm strong enough to knock it out of there and still control it. So of the... Now, you've got par threes on there, so you've got probably four par threes for every 18 holes. So let's say there's 14 holes where you have to hit the fairway in a round of golf, and you're playing four rounds over the weekend, so 56 times that you should hit the fairway. He only hit 23 fairways, less than half, over the weekend, and yet he still wins the tournament, and not even close. He wins it by six strokes. Because when you hit the ball as far as he does off the tee, then you don't have to use as big a club hitting your second shot. He's got more control of that, tends to put the ball closer to the hole, and is able to make birdies that way. And he finished at 6 under par, and his closest competitor was at even par. So he winds up winning in a walkaway on Sunday because he was the only player to finish under par on Sunday.
So the weight room is, I want to get the ball closer to the hole on my first shot,
yeah,
and kind of bypass all the fairway stuff, yeah, we were talking about.
It used to be the phrase was drive for show and putt for dough. Drives look great, and the guys that blasted 350 yards, you know, that's nice, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the job done around the green. Well, he drives like that, but he's able to get his second shot close enough where he can putt for some dough, and now he's won a major for the first time in his career.
All right, let's talk basketball. My son's just drooling, waiting for the finals.
Well, the Lakers took a big step towards the finals last night. It looked like Denver was going to make this out to a series. Nikola Jokic had another fine game. They were cruising along. They had a two-point lead down the stretch, and for some reason they decided to leave Anthony Davis open from three. He hits the shot at the buzzer, and the Lakers beat the Nuggets last night 105-103. So L.A. leads the series 2-0. Denver still competitive, still in it, but to think that they're going to beat the Lakers 4 out of the next 5, which is what they would have to do to win the series.
A little bit of a long shot.
I think that's a long shot.
Okay.
Meanwhile, the other series resumes tonight with Miami leading the Celtics 2-1. Celtics looked like a completely different team on Saturday night. They dominated Game 3 of the series against the Heat. These playoff series tend to be adjustments, trying to take away what the other team is doing. So we'll see what kind of adjustments now Eric Spoelstra is able to make for the Heat to what the Celtics changed up. Celtics found a way to shoot over the top of that Heat zone and be effective. And so we'll see what happens tonight in Game 4 of the series.
Stanley Cup Finals tonight. Dallas leads Tampa 1-0.
And that's all we need to say about that.
Really. And finally, baseball.
Boy, the Cubs are really struggling at the plate right now.
Uh-oh.
I know they've got this 3.5-game lead on St. Louis with a week to go in the season. They go on the road, start a 4-game series with Pittsburgh tonight. Entering last night, Corey, do you know what the Cubs' batting average at Wrigley Field was this season?
I don't.
214. Let me clue you in. That's not good. That's not good. Chris Bryant has 5 RBI all season. Mm. He's shown virtually no power anymore. Has 2 home runs all year.
Wow.
Schwarber got yanked from the game for poor outfield play last night.
Hmm.
They're not clicking right now. Their pitching hasn't been bad. Yu Darvish gave up 4 runs in the start, which is kind of high for him. But if you're a Cubs pitcher right now, you kind of feel like every start has to be pinpoint because they're not scoring any runs. They scored 2 runs in the whole series with the Twins. That's terrible. So hopefully they'll get better as they go on the road. The good news is the playoffs will be at neutral sites, so they won't be playing at Wrigley Field anymore this season. But if they don't hit any better than this, they won't be playing long after September 29th either.
Wow, so Wrigley Field's done.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that was fun.
Yeah. While it lasted.
By the way, speaking of media, you know, you were telling me your woes with Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
I got an email back from the Cubs. The Oregon players, he's just very busy.
Yeah.
I thought, how are you busy for a 10-minute phone call?
He's not.
He's not.
He's not. They just,
yeah. Whatever.
I know. It's more and more of these places, Corey, are trying to control the message. In fact, I noticed last night, I was getting a lot of Cub stats from ESPN that I don't necessarily get on the Marquee Sports Network. Well, that's because the Marquee Sports Network is owned by the Cubs. And
so
I'm
sure controlling the narrative.
Len and JD have been told, emphasize the positive. Don't talk about the negative.
Mm.
Which I never did when I was calling Notre Dame baseball games. I tried to give you what I thought was an objective outlook as to what was going on, which I know didn't always please people at the University of Notre Dame because, well, they felt like they were paying for the product, therefore, you know, they should control the narrative. I thought you, as a listener, deserved to know exactly what was happening.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's different ways of doing it, and there's different ways of looking at things. And I'm not saying that if you're the Cubs announcer that you should always just denigrate the Cubs or anything, but I think you need to kind of be honest, and if a player isn't playing well, just say they're not playing well. And I don't always feel that you necessarily get that.
Maybe that would inspire the player to take it up a notch.
Well, the player shouldn't be listening to the announcers anyway. I mean, that shouldn't inspire the player. You know what should inspire Chris Bryant? You know what should inspire Chris Bryant is just wanting to do well, which I'm sure he does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he's frustrated at the kind of season that he's having right now.
It can't be fatigue.
But it doesn't do any good to hide it.
No.
White Sox lost to Cincinnati yesterday by a count of 7-3. So with the Twins winning and the White Sox losing, even though the White Sox have already qualified for the playoffs in the American League, their lead over Minnesota is only 2 games. That becomes important down the stretch because, remember, the way the seeding is done, first of all, it's the teams that win the division. So the best record of the teams that win a division is 1, the next best is 2, and the worst record of the 3 teams to win a division is 3, and then you get into the best records after that. So you'd much rather... If the White Sox don't win the division, no matter what their record is, the best seed they can be is a 4 seed. Well, if they can win the division and hold off Minnesota, they might wind up being the number 1 seed in the playoffs, where if you're the 1, you play the 8. If you're the 4, you play the 5. That's a lot different. And the same holds true for the Cubs. Yes, they have a 3.5-game lead over the Cardinals. Do I expect them to give up a 3.5-game lead in a week? No. But they're the Cubs, so they quite frankly could. As for the Tigers over the weekend, a little bit of surprising news. They lost their manager, Ron Gardenhire, who apparently is having some health problems.
Oh.
And so he decided to resign immediately. Most people felt that Gardenhire had done a pretty good job with this team, especially since there's a lot of young players on the team. And Gardenhire is kind of regarded as an old school guy, but he had nurtured the younger players, for lack of a better term, and done a pretty good job keeping them competitive. And at least where, a week or so ago, we were talking about the playoffs and the Tigers still had an outside chance at making the playoffs. They're not going to make the playoffs now. Lloyd McClendon, the former Valparaiso University standout, played for the Cubs, has had some managing jobs in the majors, will manage the team for the last week of the season here, but everybody's kind of concerned about Ron Gardenhire and the fact that he would step down now. They just want to make sure that he's going to be okay.
Okay. So you're preparing for what game this Friday?
Bremen at John Glenn. We have not done a game at Walkerton for football since I've been here. The last time 46 was there was 2003.
Great.
So that'll be fun.
All right. You can follow along on Twitter, Sports Yak with 2 Ks. You're on Twitter as well.
At 46 Sports. I didn't write out a rundown today, but I always like to take a look at Corey's World.
Yes.
Over the weekend. You showed a lovely shot of your deck that is now completed that I know has been a headache for you for the last couple of months. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
The furniture was out there. What was it like to sit on the deck yesterday and watch NFL football?
It was great. It was, and I said this to my wife a couple of times, just the overwhelming sense of pride because I drove the nails and I put the screws in and paid the cash and did all the stuff. So we've got, the weather's going to get goofy here in a little bit and there won't be a lot of time to sit back there. So I'm milking it for all it's worth. I watched Saturday's game back there.
Well, they were
Bears
perfect
yesterday.
Days to sit outside.
Yeah. And we've got the right amount of shade where our TV's at. It's not like anything attached to outside. I bring it in from inside. But, yeah, it was a beautiful boat back-to-back days. Beautiful. Loved it.
And then, and I'm not always the most observant person in the world, so I apologize if I have not noticed that. But I'm noticing on your arm today this Beatles tattoo.
Yes.
How long has that been there?
About a week.
Okay, so it is new.
It is new.
What prompted you to do this?
A little birthday gift to myself. My 50th birthday was this bad boy on the left arm,
forearm.
The Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually designed this one from the Beatles. And, the guy that I like is busy. And I had an October date, and he called me and said, hey, somebody canceled. Come on in. So busted in there last week, and we had a great conversation. They call him the Fat Wolverine.
Excuse me?
You know, the character Wolverine, how he's got the chops.
Yeah.
He's not a heavy guy. He's a muscular guy. He used to be a construction guy for 20 years, and
He was a little bit of a viral sensation a handful of years ago. His daughter was at Riley's Children's Hospital, and he and his wife stayed down there while she was having some stuff done. And he had a Where's Waldo, because they were under construction at the time at the hospital, and he moved this Waldo around outside so the kids could kind of wake up the next morning.
Okay, sure.
And go, oh, where is he at? And so he's a good guy. And it was my 51st birthday to myself.
So
the Fab Four.
A Beatles tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could picture them singing a song, what would it be?
Help. Hey, Jude. Well, Revolution. This is the this would be the 64 Beatles.
Yes. Yes.
The Mop Tops.
It is not the the long haired hippie Beatles.
Yeah. I've seen the cartoon before. It was before our time. But that's where I got that from. And I connect their heads like the four of them are connected together. And, yeah, happy with it.
And then you were drawing some cartoons over the weekend as well.
Was I?
A Scooby-Doo?
That's just one. That was on the new iPad update. And that's from a couple of months ago. But I've just been super busy with all kinds of things. I didn't have any time to post something that I was working
on. How are you surviving the new iPhone update?
It's a handful. I think they do a poor job of like, here is what the phone does now.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm getting questions from my mother-in-law, like, what is this whole 5G deal and do I have to upgrade? And I think we all do. I think with 5G world, we're all going to have to update to the next phone. It's kind of like you're getting called out this time. You can't stick with the 4 and the 5.
Why not?
Well, because it's not 5G compatible.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the new network that we're all going to be on.
No, we're not.
You're right.
This television station for years stayed on standard definition when everybody tried the experiment of HD. And we said, no, that thing's going to just go away. It's kind of like that Simpsons episode where Homer says, the internet, is that thing still around?
it's going to go away.
And then we kind of said, this HD thing's sticking. We might have to go to it. But I am going to ride the iPhone 7 into wherever it takes me for as long as it takes me.
Staying with the 7.
7 is good enough for me.
My wife said, hey, we're available. We can get an upgrade. I'm like, didn't we just get phones? I've lost track.
I'm eligible for an upgrade. Yeah, I'm eligible to spend more money. I don't wish to.
If you could go back to a flip phone today, would you?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
BlackBerry? That was great.
Nextel? Walkie-talkie?
I want the big Saved by the Bell phone.
Okay.
The 90s. Phone.
What about the Get Smart shoe? You want to go back that far?
Sure. Yeah.
That way you can wear it and
now
use
would
it.
I be able to get through TSA with the Get Smart shoe?
Yes.
Probably not.
Got to take it off and put it in the bowl.
Because there's too much electronics in it. They would have a fit over there.
Well, that's all in the heel.
Yeah.
All right, sports fans, Yak fans, thank you so much for listening. Hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Until next time, Yak fans.
Ooga Luga, Three Finger Brown.
We've had some fun. Yeah, the show is done. Now we gotta run. It's Sport Check. Sport Check. Sport Check is not filmed in front of a live studio audience. We done.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.